Our next guest is one of the best in music. He's doing a lot of shows in the area the next few weeks, next month. Notre Dame campus in South Bend on September 7th. Saturday, September 8th, he's doing a benefit show at the House of Blues. Martyrs on Lincoln Avenue, September 9th, and Four Winds Casino on September 14th. It's our old friend Todd Rundgren. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
You got a lot going on, man. You're doing a lot in Chicago. When you do these shows, do you use Chicago as your hub? Do you come back here to your own place or B&B or hotel room, or do you stay in each city?
Well, if we have the opportunity, we like to hub out of the city. Of course, Chicago is kind of central to a bunch of cities that you don't have to drive too many hours to get to. Milwaukee and
Madison
and Evanston and places that we played all around that area. So if we have the opportunity, we hub out of Chicago.
I feel like you have a love for this city. It seems like you're always doing multiple shows here because you have tons of fans here.
Well, there were a few cities that adopted my music relatively early on, and it's kind of in a string across the Northeast, I guess, from Cleveland to Chicago to Minneapolis, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Always seemed to be like a strong area for me. So, you know, when we book a tour, we're always making sure that we get there.
I love it. Tell me about the Martyrs show, because Martyrs is kind of a small bar on Lincoln Avenue, not too far from my house. I just figured that you and your wife and the band will come over, have a barbecue, and we'll all go to Martyrs afterwards. But this show is your wife Michelle and Greg Hawks from The Cars. Tell me about this.
Well, my wife started a band of her own. It wasn't enough to open a restaurant. She kind of misses performing, and so she got together with some friends, some people from Minneapolis who used to play with Prince, and they started a tiki party band. They do mostly corporate things and stuff like that. They're not planning to go out on the road like a regular band, but there's
right.
A rotating bunch of people in it. Greg Hawks is one of them, but of course, if he's playing with me, he can't play with them. So they have a bunch of substitutes. I think the total number of people in the band is probably somewhere between 24 and 20 people.
That's okay. If it works, it works.
Yeah, well, they just, they go out with whoever's available. And I have yet to actually see the band play. I'll be seeing them for the first time at
Martyrs,
at the gig in Chicago. Yeah.
So do you get up on stage, or are you just enjoying the band just like everybody else?
Well, like I said, I've never seen the band.
I guess we'll find out, right?
Yeah, I contributed a guitar solo to a single that they put out recently, but that's about the extent of it. I have actually truly never seen the band play.
That is so funny. You haven't seen your wife play yet. We're talking with Todd Rundgren. Saturday, September 8th at the House of Blues is a fundraiser. Tell us about the Spirit of Harmony Foundation. Tell us about this.
Well, it was about 5 years ago. We were having a fan event down in Louisiana, about an hour outside of New Orleans. And it was still not that long after the hurricane had wrecked everything, and the fans decided they want to do something for the city, and in particular for like a music program. So we found a music program in the Lower Ninth, and the fans all got together and came up with $10,000 for this program. And we all went down and saw the kids play and everything and spent the afternoon with them, and everybody got off on it so much that they said, let's make this permanent. So that essentially was the founding event of the Spirit of Harmony. And we decided that what we wanted to do was focus on getting early education, music education, back into schools because of the sort of manifest benefits that it gives kids, especially if they're in neighborhoods where they are disenfranchised and stuff like that.
Sure.
So it's all about, you know, raising awareness of that, raising awareness of your local music programs and such, and networking as well is a real important stuff for us, you know, getting needs, people who have needs together with people who can satisfy those needs. So we're not big on raising money for ourselves. We're just raising operating expenses, and the rest of the time we're trying to make things happen at the grassroots level.
And I read on your website these fundraisers, you can get involved by donating money, or you can donate musical instruments, or you can just bring them to the venue if you want to that night at the House of Blues, or you can find out all the information at your website at toddrundgren.com, which is great because, Todd, you've been touring forever. You've been in music forever. I love artists like you that give back. A lot of people just go through the motions. I'm going to collect my money. I'm going to do my thing. But you give back to the communities in each one of these areas. I love that.
Well, I'm kind of, my heroes in music are the ones who keep doing it until they drop. And, you know, I'm still in awe of Tony Bennett, you know, he's still doing it while he's 90. And, and remaining engaged, you know, with music, coming up with new music, working with new artists, and also, you know, the work that we do with the foundation. It all keeps you, you know, that much more engaged, but also it's, you know, benefit to yourself, you know, right. Retirement is a hard thing to get back out of. I've seen a lot of musicians retire and then try and come back, and it's not the same as riding a bicycle. You can't just hop back on. So I do it because, you know, I'm afraid to stop.
And you love it. You love performing. And how much do you write? Are you writing on a regular basis? Do you keep that going?
I write on an irregular basis, mostly because I've been spending so much more time on the road.
Right.
When the record business was, you know, the sort of older model, I could do more record production. I would only have to tour maybe 4 to 6 months a year. Now I'm touring 8 to 10 months a year in various contexts. So that's all probably directly attributable to the way that the record industry has changed.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think that's, you know, was always the foundation of music anyway, was live performance. And, you know, recordings were always like a simulacrum, you know, an artifact of your live performance. And what you really need and want is to have people come see you play.
When you write a new song and you want to get it out to your fans, how do you do that? Because you have guys like you, Cheap Trick, REO Speedwagon. If you write a new song, I mean, we're the diehards where we're going to go to your website or we're going to sign up for the mailing list. But how do you get it out there to the general public on tour?
Well, we use things like Spotify, and, you know, my stuff is on available on Napster and most of the and Apple Music and most of the electronic delivery outlets.
Right.
I'm with a label right now who also puts a great emphasis on the old sort of artifacts, like they still make LPs and stuff. You
I
know,
love that.
So while the audience is changing, the way that audience gets music is changing. There are still people who, there's still a market for those other forms. And go to some place like Japan, they don't download music in Japan. They buy CDs. Like, Japan buys more CDs than the rest of the world combined.
Really?
Everyone else is kind of going off CDs and the other sort of hard artifacts that you used to sell and going to services like Spotify and Apple Music. It's an unusual position. It takes some getting used to because that's where I was like 40 years ago, 40 or 50 years ago when I first started. And you had to wait, like, after you finished your record, it was at least 3 months before they could release it because they had to press it and print the sleeves and stuff like that. So the advantage we have nowadays, if I have a new performance or a new collaboration or something, we can put it out immediately if we feel like that's what we want to do.
Right. I love that. And what do you listen to? What does a Todd Rundgren listen to when he wants to get pumped up? Because we're playing your music on the weekends, or if we're having a barbecue, what does Todd Rundgren listen to?
I like to, explore new things and sometimes explore very old things, stuff that I may have overlooked when it was first out. The show that I'm doing now is called An Unpredictable Evening. Mm-hmm. With Todd Rundgren, and the reason why it's unpredictable is because we go way off of my playlist and off into the weeds to all kinds of songs by bands that you will never see anymore because they don't exist. So I like to just rediscover music as well as, listening to new stuff. But if I may make a recommendation, a self-serving one.
Yeah, go ahead.
You might check out the Lemon Twigs new record.
Okay, I like that.
Because I play a role in it. It's kind of almost a rock opera, a la, like records like Queen used to make. And I actually have a role in the opera there. So
that's fantastic.
That's why I'm recommending it. I'm also recommending it because it's an incredible record. These are two young kids that just barely reached 20, and they're really creative.
God, that's awesome. That's the way it should be. And Todd Rundgren, I just love you because you're just an ordinary guy. And I want to say this. I know you're going to hate me saying this, but every year when I watch the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's a travesty that you're not in there. I think of you. I think of Kevin Cronin from REO Speedwagon. I think of our own hometown band, Styx. I think of Warren Zevon. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think of Betty LeVette. people who have been doing it since before I was, and still have not wound up in the Hall of Fame. So,
well, Mellencamp has gone to bat for you and said, listen, it's time to put Todd Rundgren and Utopia in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Have you heard any?
Well, I get mentioned almost every year by somebody who has gone in.
It's crazy.
It was like Hall & Oates mentioned me, and Greg Hawks was very kind and mentioned me when the Cars were in there. But I truly don't care that much about it. I always thought of it as like institutions that come about when, like you're in your 20s or 30s or something like that.
Right.
Don't have the same gravity as an institution that was there before you were born.
Yeah.
Like the Oscars or the Grammys, they've been handing those out since before I was born. But Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I know too much to be in awe of it.
Right. Yes, I know. It's all about politics. Todd Rundgren, check out his website.
Well, it's about selling records, too.
It is. It really is. Check out his website. He's doing 4 or 5 shows in the area. Todd Rundgren, always a pleasure, man. It's great to talk to you, and we'll see you at the House of Blues on September 8th.
Terrific. We'll see you then.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. That's Todd Rundgren, everybody. It's 720 WGN.